So a Sunday school teacher was telling her class the story of the Good Samaritan. And she described the story in very vivid detail so as to draw the children into the drama. When she was all finished, she asked the class, "If you saw a person lying on the side of the road, all wounded and bleeding, what would you do?" And there was a hush as the children thought. And then a little girl chimed in. She said, "I think I would throw up." I don't think that's the answer the teacher was looking for. The story of the Good Samaritan is a familiar one, so much so that Good Samaritan has made its way into our vernacular. We use it to describe someone who offers aid or assistance. The Good Samaritan is a feel-good story. It's a story of kindness and mercy, and we would all like to think that we would do as the Samaritan did. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we're continuing in the 9-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. We've been using that image of the orange, the peel, the outside of it being that part that holds it all together. Divine love, agape love, that love that is an intention and action, not a feeling, but that works at being loving. And you still have that homework. How are you doing? Are you loving somebody a little more than you loved them a few weeks ago? I hope so. And so then we started to unpeel the love, because all these other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, love is necessary. So for us to get to the joy and the peace and the patience that we've talked about, love is still the anchor there. And today we're going to talk about kindness. Now, a reminder again, now that we're at the halfway mark, we've done four. We have four left, so we're right in the middle. And to remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit. These are not things that we have to try to do ourselves. These are things that have been planted into those who call Jesus Lord and Savior, that Spirit dwelling in our lives that is working these things. The seeds are already planted. And we work with the Spirit to cultivate them, grow them, so that they're manifest more and more in our lives. So kindness. How many of you would consider yourself kind? It's okay, it's not a trick question. I think most of us would hope that we would consider ourselves kind and that other people consider us kind. You know, I would say if you read the list of the fruit of the Spirit, there are qualities there that we might go, not so much. But kindness, I think we would all go, I think I have that one. At least more so than patience and self-control. But the reality is the kind of kindness that we're talking about is really extraordinary. Mark Twain wrote, "Kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see." The Greek translated kindness means to take into use. It means to make oneself useful to another. It involves an inner disposition and an outward expression. Kindness is an active desire to make someone's life easier, essentially by meeting a need and alleviating burdens. Now, we've all experienced that kind of kindness at some time, I'm sure, in our lives. Maybe we were dreading a big task and someone came along just at the right moment to lend a hand. Or you were having a really bad day and somebody called or dropped by. We've all experienced those times when those needs have been met and our burdens alleviated. And it is what God has done for us in Christ. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 5 says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." God's kindness is an active desire to make our lives easier, to meet our greatest need for forgiveness and alleviate the burden that sin and death have upon our lives. God's kindness leads us from sin to salvation. Kindness is a quality that we have received from God and one that we are called to emulate. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And to the Colossians, he writes, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So kindness is not only a quality of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also part of our Christian attire. As Paul said, to clothe ourselves, it should be something visible on the outside of us. So one of the best known stories of kindness, it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. We know the story. An expert in the law, a lawyer, stands up to test Jesus, and he asks the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I think it was always dangerous to ask Jesus a question, because Jesus always turned around and asked you one right back. And so he says to the man, well, what does the law say? And the man knew his scriptures. He quotes Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus commends his answer, because in Matthew 22, Jesus tells us that these two things sum up the entire law. So Jesus tells him to go ahead and do this, and you will live. But the lawyer's not done yet, because he wants to justify himself. So he asks Jesus, well, who then is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells a story, a parable. A man that was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a 17-mile trip, but in that 17 miles, you drop 3,300 feet. And the road is treacherous. If you've ever been over there, it's still not a really fun road to drive. It's very narrow and big drop-offs. And it was treacherous in that day as well. So this man is attacked. He is stripped naked, beaten to an inch of his life, and left for dead on the side of the road. Well, as the story goes on, Jesus tells us that a priest and a Levite, or in other words, a pastor and a good church person, see the man and they go on the other side of the road around him. Now, mind you, these two men also knew the commandments to love God and to love their neighbor. But they did not stop for whatever reason. Then comes along the hero of the story, a Samaritan. Now, Jesus' audience would have let out a big gasp. They would have squirmed in their seats. They would have started murmuring to one another in the pews, because Jews and Samaritans did not get along with each other. They worshiped the same God, but in a different way, in a different place. It is the Samaritan who stops, and he goes to the man, and he bandages his wounds. You know, we have to really think about that for a moment. He probably was not carrying a first aid kit. He would have likely torn his own clothing to fashion bandages for this man. He uses his own oil and wine, the oil to soothe, the wine to be an antiseptic effect on the wounds. He puts the man on a donkey, takes him to a roadside inn, kind of like a hostel, and then stays all night with the man. And then the next morning leaves him in the care of the innkeeper with some money and a promise to come back if there's any more owed. Jesus then finishes this story and he says, now which one of these three was a neighbor? And the lawyer responded, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. You know, we know this story. How many times have you heard this story? Like, lots. We've all heard this story. So I want to draw your attention to something that's happening in this story, because this word is mentioned three times. All three of these men saw the man on the side of the road. But seeing isn't always seeing. There is seeing with our eyes, and there is also seeing with the heart. Kindness begins when we see not with our eyes, but with our heart. Jesus says that the priest and the Levite saw him. They saw him, but instead of going to him, they go away from him because they had schedules to keep, a destination to reach, duties to perform. Touching him would have made them unclean and required days of purification. They were just too busy to be interrupted or inconvenienced, or maybe even afraid but they were not willing to show kindness. Even if we give the priest and the Levite the benefit of the doubt and think that for a moment maybe they had a measure of pity for this man, pity is not a fruit of the Spirit. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Kindness begins with that inner disposition of compassion, of mercy, that results in an outward act that is meant to meet a need and to alleviate a burden. Now, of course, this story stings because it shows that kindness, this quality of the fruit of the Spirit, was being produced not by good Jewish people, but by a Samaritan. The key to the parable is that the Samaritan came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, because this Samaritan also knew the law. Love the Lord your God also means loving your neighbor as yourself. So what Jesus shows us in this story is that the key to kindness requires that we see not just with our eyes, but with our heart, to see other people as people, whether they are friends or strangers or even our enemy. When I was in seminary, several of the students I attended school with were from Kenya, and they spoke Swahili. And one of the greetings in Swahili, which I cannot remember anymore, means I see you. This is how they greet one another. And kindness really begins with those words. So how are we at seeing other people? Because when my classmates came up and greeted you in Swahili with the I see you, it wasn't that physical seeing me with their eyes. It was seeing something deeper, that shared humanity with one another. It's different than that standard greeting of, how are you? You know, if you go around and you ask people, how are you? You get some interesting responses. Better than I deserve. Blessed, I'm vertical. Or I'm on this side of the grass. Well, you know, one day I was out walking, and I passed by a man who was working in his yard. And he said to me, hi, how are you? And I responded, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? And he said, not so good, but no one cares. It got me thinking, how often do I ask the question, not because I want to really know, but I'm just doing what's considered polite? Because if we're honest, we all do that. Because most of the time, we expect people to just respond with the customary, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? We really don't want to know how someone is because we've got our own things to do and our own burdens to take care of. But kindness means we move from how are you to I see you. Because Jesus saw. And when he saw, things happened. He saw the hungry crowd and he fed them with bread and fish. He saw a blind person and gave sight. He saw the mute and the lame and he gave them restoration. He saw a little Zacchaeus up in the tree and he brought salvation to Zacchaeus' house. He saw us in our own sinful state and he died upon the cross for us. Jesus saw, had compassion, met needs, and alleviated burdens, which is why he says to us, come to me, all who are weary and burdened by heavy loads, and I will give you rest. I personally believe that kindness is the one commodity that the church universal and every individual church can offer to a hurting world. Because think about it, kindness is kind of a rare commodity nowadays, isn't it? Because our world is more and more impersonal. I love watching 1970s television. It's kind of corny, but you know, it's clean. There's not a lot of bad language and all that stuff. And, you know, I was watching one the other day and they were stopped at a gas station and they had gas station attendants. Like, how many of you remember those? You know, I do. I remember, you know, they come out and they do the window and the oil checking and your air and your tires and fill your gas tank and give the kids a treat and the dog a treat and everybody's happy. I remember my brother playing gas station attendant, washing the windows of the car and filling the gas tank with the garden hose. Fortunately, my dad was really good humored. Boys, don't do that. Don't do that. But now it's all self-serve. You know, when I moved to Yuma, I was setting up my utilities. And of course, you know, I'm pulling my hair out, which is, you know, you can see the result. And so I'm pressing one, or it says press one or press two for this and that. And then you press, and then it tells you press one, press two. Well, I got through all of that, and then I called Rural Metro, and I was momentarily silenced by a real person on the other end of the phone. It takes us aback. Or, you know, you go to the bank and they're pushing you to do online. Soon the teller will meet the fate of the gas station attendant. Kindness is in short supply. Yet I've noticed some advertisers have tapped into this. Discover, the credit card company, says, we treat you like you treat you. So the ad is the customer speaking to a customer rep that looks just like them and talks like them, because it is them. People like to be seen. There was an elderly lady named Mamie who always went to the local post office because the employees were friendly. One day she was waiting in a long line to buy stamps just before Christmas. The man in line behind her said, Mamie, there's no need for you to wait in line. You can buy stamps in the machine out in the lobby. And Mamie responded, I know, but the machine won't smile and ask me about my arthritis. You know, and some may think our younger generation is not as bothered by this because they've gotten used to a world where they don't necessarily talk face-to-face because of texting and phones, but they respond to authentic kindness too. When I lived up in Sholo, the bus stop was right up the street, so I walked by the bus stop several times and got to know the kids at the bus stop. And one day, one of the boys there, he's 11, his grandmother had died, and they lived on the block. And so I got to talking to him, and he was really sad, and he started to cry. But you know how many of you were kind of treated children like you want to protect them from grief and sadness? So you kind of keep them away from that? This child was kind of kept pushed out away from the grieving family, and so he sat there at the bus stop and grieved with me. And another girl had back surgery, so I followed her through that and prayed with her one day. These kids got to see me coming, and they were yelling, Pastor Jen, and they would come running, and we would talk, sometimes even sang and danced one day. People like to be seen, and kindness begins with seeing, not with our eyes, but with our heart, because when we act kind, we alleviate burdens and meet needs. Now, some have asked me this year if we're doing trunk or treat. At the end of this month. No, and I'll tell you why. It's because the few of us that actually put it on last year are doing other things, and it's more detailed than you think to put it together. But the other thing I'm going to challenge us to start asking, how does trunk or treat meet a need and alleviate a burden? It's a lot of fun, but people come, we fill them up with candy, and we send them on their way. And so as we've been thinking about how do we do something that would be meaningful with the families that are connected to our church through the preschool and here in our worship, we've talked about a parent's either evening out or morning out. It's where you drop off the kids. It's 3.5 to 4 hours of babysitting. The kids are here. They do crafts. They watch movies. Eat snacks, interact, sing songs, and the parents go, and they can go, if it's at night, they can go on a date, or even if it's in the daytime, it gets them an opportunity to connect and to have a break. A couple years ago up in Sholo we did it, and it was even a snowy day, so we didn't expect too many parents to show up because it was coming down pretty good, but we ended up having 35 kids. And one mother came in to drop off her children. And I said, so are you going to go shopping? Because it was in December before Christmas. She says, no, I'm going to go light candles and have a bubble bath. And she came back 3 hours later. Oh, my gosh, she looked so relaxed. She said, that is the first time I have had time to myself in years. It replenished. It met a need. Alleviated a burden. It restored, replenished, renewed. And so as we're looking around, kindness is a rare commodity. It's about seeing people. And as we see people, God's kingdom grows. William Barclay, Bible commentator, he wrote, "More people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world." And I couldn't agree more. Because how many of you are here today because somebody sat down and gave you a thorough theological argument for the Christian faith? Some of you may be, but I would imagine that most of you are here because of the kindness of God and the kindness of those who nurtured your faith throughout the years. When kindness happens, needs are met and burdens are alleviated. Remember that when God saw us in our sinful state, he had compassion upon us and in kindness sent his Son to meet our greatest need and to alleviate our greatest burdens. So the challenge for us is twofold in kindness. Because first of all, Paul commends us to be kind to one another. I imagine that there are people that you see every single week here in the sanctuary, but you probably don't know their name. So the challenge today is as you're leaving, someone you have seen on a regular basis, actually walk up and introduce yourselves. Get to know somebody. Who knows? You might have gone to grade school together. You never know. But take time to see one another within our body and to start talking to one another. What is it that burns you? What are your needs? Because from that springs ministry. We're talking about a grief support ministry that's being talked about by Denny and Helen. We're also looking at a caregiver support group ministry because we know that that's a need and there's some burden around that. So as we talk to one another, we discover those things. But the other part, too, is to talk to your neighbors. Talk to the checkout clerk. Talk to the waitress at the restaurant. Because as we seek out the needs around us and we can begin to think of ways that we might meet the need, alleviate the burden, then we show kindness. And not only do we show kindness, but kindness becomes cultivated richer and deeper into our lives. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan reminds us it's not enough to just know the scriptures, to know that we love God and to love our neighbor, to really live it out. We put it into action. So may God not only open our eyes, but also open wide our hearts that we might truly see. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning is Rural Communion Sunday. So if you will, I got to find my insert. I lost my insert. Here we go. And so Rural Communion Sunday is the Sunday in the life of the Church Universal where we all are celebrating communion. So wrap your mind around millions of people joining together in Holy Communion today. And because it is World Communion Sunday, we're using tortillas as our bread. These are also made from rice flour, so they are gluten-free. So for those who have a gluten intolerance. So let us join together in our communion liturgy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all nations, you created every person in your image and called us by your Holy Spirit to become one in Christ through baptism and through faith. In Jesus Christ, you showed us the way to live with unique gifts and particularities, yet in harmony with you and with each other. You, O God, are indeed above all and through all and in all. So today we join with voices throughout the earth and in heaven saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived among us to show us your love, caring enough to feed hungry persons, stopping to touch persons in need of healing, reaching out to those not like himself, a Samaritan woman at a well, lepers from another country, those tortured by demons, a father pleading for his daughter, a woman from Syrophoenicia, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a rich young ruler, and a humble fisherman. When people gathered to hear his teachings, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them to eat so they might be fed. And when Jesus ate with his disciples for his final meal on earth, they remembered his blessing on the multitude and listened as he told them, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." They watched as Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for the whole world for the forgiveness of sins." And so this is the body of Christ that is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of him. And this is the cup of the new covenant, Jesus' blood poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. After his death and resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples told others through this meal that Jesus was the Messiah sent by God for all humankind. Remembering now, we proclaim, Christ, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Savior of the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on the table spread this day around this globe. May all who partake, wherever they live, know the reconciling love of Jesus Christ. May your church go forth from this communion with you to be one in Christ and one in our witness to the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I'll invite those who are serving today to come join me.